Hi, welcome to the second episode of the Woman, Asian, and Bloody Immigrant podcast. My name is Kamaria and I'm your host. This episode is about the beauty industry, makeup, and self-esteem, and I'm joined by some of my best friends, Sandy and Pooja, to talk about it. Please feel free to comment on this topic in the comment section or on our social media pages. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Three. Hello, Sandy. Hi, Pooja. Thank you for coming on my podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me
from across the street.
Anyways, I know Pooja from primary school for 14 years, right?
14 years strong.
14 years strong. And I know Pooja.
I can't say the B word, so I can't say it.
Yeah, and I know Sandy since yesterday.
What?
Yeah, wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It feels nice.
You should feel blessed, Cammy. Like, Sandy saw you, like, on the streets begging for someone to be on your podcast. And Sandy picked Kamaria off the streets, you know?
That's not
she saw Kamaria, like, pulling a sign up. Yeah.
Okay. No, but how long do we know each other? Since Form 3?
Yeah, so probably 6-7 years.
Well, I mean, like,
oh, 6-7 years.
We saw Sandy like when we were in Form 1,
but yes,
until we were like,
but y'all didn't talk to me.
But you didn't talk to us first, so
y'all were like big
over enthusiastic.
Like, I can't be like, oh, hi there.
Yeah, we can't be fake like that. So, how do we know that, you know, after you stop recording this, mm-hmm. and when you go back to edit it, how do we know that the sound is all right?
Well, you remember the test recording we did?
Yeah, but in that one, I wasn't using my earphones.
Yeah, but you know, see the headphones I'm wearing? I can hear everything clearly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. How does my voice sound?
Now.
Hey guys, it's me, Pooja. the greatest girl in the whole entire world.
I'm okay. Gonna put that.
I don't want to be here.
You know, I so want to say bitch, but you're like, you can't say the B word, so I'm like, fine. All the greatest one liner has been cut short because I can't say the bitch word.
Okay, then you keep saying it, so okay. Sandy, I invited you for this part, like this episode first, because you're like, actually both you and Pooja.
Thanks for making
like,
me feel so included.
Yeah, Pooja, be quiet for a minute.
Sorry.
Both you and Pooja are like really into makeup stuff, but you actually studied makeup for like higher diploma.
Yeah, I studied for like 2 years. So it was not just like normal, like daily makeup. It was more like stage makeup or like special effect. It was like mixture of everything. So 2 years was not enough, but yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I studied for, I think, not even 2 years. I think 1.5 year.
1.5 years. Did you enjoy it?
It was fun. It was great, but it was not enough. Like I said, I would want to, I would want the course to be at least 3 years. It would be nice.
Okay. Do you have like future plans to go back into like makeup business and stuff?
Definitely yes, but not sure when, because I'm still trying to find my path. This year I'm just doing my other stupid jobs that I don't really like love, but I mean I don't mind it, so I'm just doing some other stuff.
The girl
right
needs
now.
The cash. She needs
you need the moolah, baby.
Uh-huh.
And I have Pooja here because...
Because Sandy wanted someone else with her because she felt scared of Cammy.
True.
She was scared
story.
Of this homeless girl,
lying.
So she wanted her, a girl that would
I feel
eat
like,
her.
Sandy, I feel like she's just here to roast me. That's the only reason she agreed.
That's my life purpose, dude. To roast you for life.
This podcast is going to be good because it's going to be roasted.
like filled with roast chicken.
Okay. Well,
I hope your dad doesn't hate me after this.
Oh my god.
Who's Pooja? No longer your friend. Unfriend her now.
I think my whole family will really enjoy this podcast because you're roasting me.
They're like, yes, go.
Okay, can we... Anyways, the reason I chose this topic, like makeup, beauty, and self-esteem, is that for a long time, like I, like personally, I just started wearing makeup since I like started working this new job at a restaurant. And to be honest, I feel like the reason I got this job is because I was wearing makeup during the interview, because before that I had like dozens of interviews where I had no makeup, and the reactions and the interactions I got were strange at best. But now, even like normal interactions, like my day-to-day, in my day-to-day life, they're very different to how I used to have them without makeup on. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why, like, for so long, I was like, I'm never going to wear makeup because I like my face as it is, as it, at its natural self. But now I have to wear makeup because this society, it doesn't allow, like, especially women to, like, just be themselves and achieve something without this layer of altering our physical appearance. Feel like I'm just blabbering, but hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say. But you guys,
I get it.
I asked you guys, like do you think, like, what did I ask you guys? Does makeup like increase confidence or something like that? You guys were like, yes, makeup increases confidence or something like that. So I was like, that's two opposite way of seeing this topic. So I was like, let's have a discussion on it. Yeah, so do you guys like wear makeup every day?
Yeah, I wear it every day to work.
Yeah, anytime I go out, I do have something on my face.
Yeah, like at home, I just have moisturizer on. But when I'm out, at least I have to have my eyebrows on because your girl got none.
Girl, so, at home, yeah. I don't even wash my face or put moisturizer. I'm just crusty ass with all my eye boogers and stuff like that. Like, who even like tries hard when they're staying at home? No, not me.
Okay.
And I complain about my face looking disgusting, when in turn it's my fault. It's always been me. But yeah, true. Like whenever I go out, I do wear like makeup, and just like Sandy said, at least eyebrows, because I've got none, as you can see right now.
It kind of frames your face. It's more of a, like, it's something you can't really change much. Like eyebrows, you can't grow a lot if you want it, right? It's just you're born with it.
When did you guys start wearing makeup, like the first time?
You mean the first time someone did my makeup or some...
I
did
like you yourself?
I think I was eight.
Eight?
Dang, girl.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. But then it's not like I put on makeup from eight until now.
But no, but like, no, but like... I mean, like, like regularly, like, okay, now I'm going to wear makeup like... with my outfit and everything. Like, when did that start?
Like, I used to do it when I was 8 or 9, and then I stopped for a while. And then, like...
Can I...
My teenager...
Can you specifically ask why you started doing your makeup from 8 to 9? Like, were you, like, wearing it outside? Sorry, I'm quite curious myself, okay?
Okay. Carry on. Okay. You can ask questions.
It was like something, it was nothing to do with my confidence because at that time I was very confident. Mm. Like, as a
child.
Yeah.
I was a sassy little girl, okay? Mm-hmm. Like there was nothing related to that, but then I liked doing makeup at that time as well. It was something where I could spend time for myself.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think of it that way when I was younger, right? But then, now that I think of it, like, I like doing those stuff, so I just did it. But then later, it was more of a, oh, I want to look good for someone else, kind of, you know? Mm-hmm. So it changes progressively, but now it's different.
Now it's your turn to talk, Pooja.
Okay, I didn't know it was my turn.
No, you keep butting in.
I'm so sorry. When did I butt in? I first started to like notice certain features about myself that like wasn't there that other people had, especially like first starting with my eyebrows, because I've got such sparse eyebrows. I never really noticed that until in like 2014 or 15, when like eyebrows started to become all the thing, like on Instagram everyone was just like eyebrows and fleek and stuff. And before then I just didn't know that thing really existed. Like I was like fine with all my appearance and stuff, but then when I started to notice like this trend was going on, I was like, wow, what is that? And then I obviously like looked at it, I wasn't like that affected by it. But then I first started using an eyebrow pencil when I was in form 5, so when I was like 16, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then that time though, I just looked really freaking weird, so I just didn't want to continue doing it. So I didn't do it until I graduated secondary school, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna start doing makeup, you know.
Yeah,
like that. So it wasn't until after I graduated secondary school that I started getting into makeup more.
So if you can remember, before and after wearing makeup, did your perceptions about your looks change? Like you just said, you know, before.
You mean now or before?
Like before, when you looked at your face, how did you feel? And now that you wear makeup. I don't know, when did you start wearing makeup, man?
When she was 8. I'm sorry, 8 is quite far away, so.
No, not 8. Let's say when you started wearing, like.
Regularly
like
wearing.
Cautiously think about makeup in terms of making your face look, like, conventionally pretty.
I think when I was in secondary 5 or 6, I started doing my eyebrows. And then I was doing them very lightly because we were not allowed to do any type of makeup in our
which
secondary
school. Actually really like. I think that really helped with self-confidence.
Yes.
Because one was allowed to anyways, so everyone just looked trashy.
Over here in the UK, 12-year-old girls wear makeup like they're going to like some party or something. It's scary, you know? Mm. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, and I think at that time it was like really like I really didn't like how my eyebrows were. Like it's like, oh my god, why are they so far apart from each other?
Why do
like,
they not
like
exist?
Cousins. And I'm like, why? So I just wanted to make them a bit closer and darker, so I just did that. And that was like more natural. Like I didn't do like a full on snatched eyebrows like with a high arch and stuff like that. But now, I mean, I like to do them very dark, and
I can see that.
And it's looking on fleek.
Thank you.
My girl came a long way.
Started from sparse eyebrows.
Now
we're here.
What about you, Preju?
I mean, like I said, you know, like in secondary school in Hong Kong, like we are not allowed to wear makeup in school and stuff. So like before I started wearing makeup, I was already like dealing with so much like acne and oily skin and redness. So I was just used to it by then. Like I was used to looking like having my skin have all these weird stuff. And then I think not only that, like after I graduated secondary school, for some reason, my skin started clearing up a bit.
Mm.
So
it's the stress
for some reason.
I wonder where what
you started going to 20s like out of the puberty stage.
But then again, like even adults have acne, and I have acne right now too. I mean, I think before I started wearing makeup, I was already at a pretty good place with how I looked in general. So after I started doing my makeup, like I just, you know, it was just enhanced, like some of the things that I wanted to appear was there, and I liked it. I don't think there was a definite like before and after makeup stage in my life, because I was already fine with my face before, and now that I'm doing makeup and stuff, like it never really changed. Like I'm still happy with myself.
So like in general, what's your relationship with makeup, like the process, the products, your interest in it, all that? Is it like a huge part of your life, or just like, just, you know, how clothes are, you just wear them You just wear some days you wear it nicely, some days you not.
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, some days I want to look like full glam queen, but sometimes I just want to look like a trash bag. So it really depends which where I'm going for. Like sometimes I just do full face of makeup, but that's very rare because it takes a long time and dedication. But then if I'm just doing my eyebrows, it's like everyday thing. So yeah.
Mm.
I mean, for me, makeup is like really therapeutic. Mm. It's like whenever I put on makeup, like it's that time, like that specific time that I have to myself where I just look at my face and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. And then slowly I see how it's changing from looking a bit tired and grumpy to looking a bit more refreshed. So I like looking, I like seeing the transformation, and I like having that time to myself where I'm just doing something to my face, and not because I want to like impress someone or anything. It's just I feel good doing that, and afterwards, like, I feel good about myself too. Like, you know, I look at myself in the mirror afterwards and I'm like, yes, this is how I want others to see me, and I like it, you know.
Yeah, I relate to that.
Your confidence.
Yeah, like my relationship with makeup is similar to Pooja's, like therapeutic, and then I like the end result and all that. But will you guys walk, like, go to college or go to work without makeup ever?
I definitely wouldn't. I'm going to be honest. I would definitely wouldn't, because I'm so used to at least seeing eyebrows on my face, you know. And I just, yeah.
Like, same. Like, at least I would do is my eyebrows. Like, rest, I'm fine. Yeah. I can walk out with my full acne. I don't care. Like, even on daily basis, I never cover my acne because I have pretty severe acne marks and like blackhead, everything. I just let it be. But if it's my eyebrows, then it gotta be there. It gotta frame my face.
I know this is like an audio thing that the audience will listen to, but if you guys can see our eyebrows right now, you wouldn't see eyebrows, mate. There is no eyebrows. It's so sparse. So you, like, the audience will agree that at least I need to do my brows. Because, honey, there ain't no.
But see, at the start, you said the whole eyebrow trend started in 2014. Yeah. And I can, like, vividly remember, like, on Instagram, eyebrows were everything. And they still are. Mm-hmm. Like, from thin eyebrows, bushy eyebrows became the trend. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone started, you know, noticing Asian and Arab girls with thick eyebrows. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, let's go deeper. And that's, like, kind of my point. Isn't that trends are what makes us self-cautious about our face and some things that we want to change? Isn't that true?
To a certain extent, it is. It is. This is very hard to answer, to be honest, because what you're saying is right, but then it's like, you can't help it. You're just like, you want to do those makeup. Like, it's so trendy right now. Like, it feels... Yeah, I think it kind of makes, like, the norm normal. No, the norm to be weird, because whenever I don't have my eyebrows, I just feel like something is missing. Because it's supposed to be the other way around, right? Like with my normal eyebrows, I should feel okay. But then with my normal eyebrows, I'm like, something is missing, so I should put something on, you know? I don't know how to say it in a good
way. Yeah. Hello, Pooja.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about it. I'm just thinking about how to answer it.
Kind of hard to explain, really. This part is hard.
Yeah. Like, makeup styles and trends, they change all the time. And so that means makeup changes all the time, and looks, like, acceptable, conventionally beautiful looks change all the time. So should our... But, like... The way I see it is our confidence in ourselves, in our natural looks, should be constant and permanent. But makeup is not permanent. That's what I'm saying. That's the problem. Basically, that's the problem I have with makeup and beauty trends. And that's why I get a bit hesitant with wearing makeup and making it a habit for myself. Silence.
This is so hard. Okay. I'm telling you.
It's a bit deep.
Right, so... Yeah. So you have a problem with makeup that keeps changing? And I mean, you're not wanting to conform?
I have a problem with beauty trends changing. Like, so for example, I have bushy eyebrows. Mm-hmm. What if tomorrow... bushy eyebrows are out of the trend and like thin, slick eyebrows are the new trend. People are going to notice my eyebrows and say, oh my God, you have bushy eyebrows. You should do this. You should do that. You know, like how I usually like you get comments about your natural look that doesn't conform with conventional beauty and people tell you to change it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The beauty trends changing.
It kind of depends on you. Like you have the choice to keep it. Or change it, you know? Like, if suddenly the thin eyebrows are the trend and people are telling you to be like, oh, why do you have such bushy eyebrows? Like, you should have thin eyebrows. Then you won't suddenly go out of your way and shave your eyebrows, right? Like, it really, for me, it's like, how should I say it?
Take your time. I'm gonna cut these silent portions anyway.
I mean, to be fair, though,
I feel like I went deep too quick.
To be fair, I feel like Demi mentioned, like back in 2015 when the eyebrow trend happened and stuff. If that didn't happen, then maybe right now I would be different too. Like I wouldn't. Be like, oh, I have to do my eyebrows to look good or something like that. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, I'm always surprised about how, you know, I've grown up to still have a healthy outlook on all these kind of really damaging trends that's going on in life right now. You know, even the beauty industry and the like how a woman's body looks like with Kim Kardashian with her hourglass thing. And stuff, and I'm still I'm kind of surprised that, you know, I like most of the people I know, like you guys and stuff, like we haven't really been so brainwashed into thinking that we have to look like that. So I feel like, you know, even though these trends, you know, a lot of times they can be toxic and stuff, like in the end, like I am grateful because I'm surrounded by people like you guys who also have a healthy outlook, who also support, like we support each other and stuff, that prevents us from falling deep into the rabbit hole of thinking that, you know, this particular trend is going on, we have to follow. Like we are not followers, you know, we challenge each other, like why would that be like that? So I feel like even though these trends are changing and stuff, because we are surrounded by people, you know, that has a healthy outlook, you know, I feel like that keeps us grounded from, that prevents us from falling into the traps of the beauty industry and feeling like we are not conforming to their expectations. I don't know what I just said.
No, you said like that's perfect, but then the question comes up, what if
because obviously
everyone is privileged like that to have a good group of people around them, and the truth is majority of people don't have a good group of people around them who are confident and who challenge each other to be the best self. Like if I look at around myself, I look at teenagers, like teenage girls, like I don't think they are, you know, being protected from the toxic beauty industry. I call it toxic because I don't think it's very healthy. And nowadays, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, billboards, you know, YouTube ads before videos, everywhere you see, you have cosmetic advertisement, all these beauty gurus, everyone has their own lines and everything. It's everywhere, you know, so it's kind of hard to not fall down that rabbit hole, like you say.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Pooja said, actually, because for me, beauty industry is not the reason why I tried to change the way I look.
Mm-hmm.
It was more because of people around me. Like, I was very, my self-confidence was very low when I was, I think, 13 until 16, 17. I was, like, very shy, and I wouldn't want to be around people. But then it was not because, like, these beauty industries are, like, telling me, oh, you have to look like this, you have to look like that. It was people around me, people who are close to me, who are telling me, oh, you don't have this, you don't have that, you have to look a certain way, you have to be a certain way, you know? Like, I think for me personally, it's not the beauty industry that has affected me more than, like, my own people.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah,
but it's also like it's even for me, like a lot of the comments I get on my physical appearance is from people around me. But then where do they get that, you know, that notion that you have to change, you have to look a certain way? They cautiously or subconsciously, I'm going to say, they consume that idea from cosmetic industry, mm-hmm. and then come to us, the people who are cautious about the things that they consume, and tell them, oh, you look this way, you have to change it because this is the acceptable way. Like, for example, brown skin, like it's so natural, like I can't change that about myself. But you still have people commenting on it and saying, use Fair and Lovely cream. And this company that makes Fair and Lovely cream,
yeah.
Unilever, they also own Dove, the Dove company, that shampoo company.
Yeah.
So on one hand, they are making Fair and Lovely cream, telling women to, you know, lighten their skin. On the other hand, they're making all these emotional ads telling women that you are perfect the way you are. So the way I see it, the beauty industry is it's a messed up place, and it's really affecting the way we see beauty and the way we see mm-hmm. ourselves. It's a very complicated issue.
It's just falls into the rich people, mm-hmm. you know, benefiting off of our insecurities,
mm.
because at the end of the day, they're not thinking about us, they're just thinking about making a lot of more money. And exactly. if they know that mm-hmm. these individuals have these insecurities, but the fact is that there's this rising of us consumers being aware of, you know, like all these lies that they're spewing, and us starting to like accept our body, but they still know that there's like the small factor of people that are still insecure, so they are like obviously profiting off of like the two different divisions of ones who are still insecure about their stuff, while the others who are becoming more confident. So like you said, you know, that man, whoever that guy owns Dove and Fair and Lovely, he doesn't care about us or anything, he just cares about getting rich. And he knows that there are two different types of consumers, that mm-hmm. one is confident, one's not confident, so he's just making profit out of that. So at the end of the day, they're not thinking about wanting to make us feel this way or that. They're just thinking about making themselves richer, literally.
Conclusion, free market capitalism is bad.
I feel like nowadays we just
can agree with that.
I feel like nowadays we just come into this whole conclusion that in the end, it's just these freaking rich people at the end who just at the top, who just wants to be rich. Like they just don't have any care for consumers. Like
exactly.
every industry that you look at, like it's just the same. Like we would think that, oh, this beauty industry, it does have all these like, you know, deep rooted, like freaked up things going on. But if you look at all the industries everywhere, it's the same. It's just the top guy wanting to be rich, and that's it. And us consumers being like blinded by all the new things that's coming out.
Yeah.
This just took a whole 180 change.
Yeah, okay. Shall we move on?
Yeah, sure.
You were going to say something.
I was going to say, like, the only difference is that before, like, the beauty industry would try to change us. But mm-hmm. now the beauty industry is kind of trying to encourage us and be like, oh, be the way you are. You are perfect the way you are. You know, they're trying profiting. To sell us by complimenting us. But before it was like, oh, you don't have this. You should have this.
They're changing they're changing their marketing mm-hmm. campaign. That's very hilarious to me. Mm-hmm. I saw this Max mm-hmm. Factor ad that said, you know, be your best self, something like that, you know, basically like self body positivity campaign, using that angle. But then they're like saying, you know, like enlarge your eyebrows, eyelashes, and you'll be your true self. Like, that's the
but they obviously they still have flaws in them, because not everyone's gonna have like Eurocentric features.
Yeah,
like even now in mainstream like beauty industry, I don't see my eye shape or like
exactly,
you know, like big face or puffy face or something.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, I mean, like sparse eyebrows and short eyelashes, that's mm-hmm. like East Asian, South Asian kind of
even in like East natural. Asian, South Asian beauty industry, you don't see those.
You don't see those because the entire beauty industry is so like Eurocentric, like European looks, and that like dates back to flipping colonization mm-hmm. and Western imperialism and all that. That's way too deep for this podcast. Anyways,
we're just digging even more deeper holes. We're just like trying to find a solution, but we're like, okay, we keep
let's keep digging. Anyways, next, I'll just move the conversation.
Sandy's water gulp is so loud.
Damn, I did that. Thank you.
So, do men and women have the same standards and expectations to look presentable and conventionally good looking?
Not the same, but both have a certain degree of pressure to look good.
But
I think the similarity stops at them having taken a shower and having combed their hair.
What I wanted to say is that is the bar of trying to look good the same for men and women? Because like Pooja said, for I feel like for men at a certain point it stops, like in like way below the middle, and for me, women, it's like way off, like off the roof, you know.
But at the end of, do you think that like at the end of the day, like women are in the end trying to impress men, like not like actually trying to impress men, because the thing is like if you look at those IG comments and stuff like that, if a woman wears like natural-ish makeup to no makeup, then you know these people are like, oh my gosh, she's not even trying hard, oh my god, why, like what is she doing up? But then if she wears like a nice full glam or something, they're like, oh, what a whole makeup or something like that. All these terms are so like degrade, how do you pronounce that word, degradatory or something? Degradatory.
Which one? I think you're mixing up two different words.
Degradatory.
No. Can I?
Yeah.
One's derogatory. One's derogatory, and one is degrading. You're mixing them two. You're a degradatory.
I hate myself. Degradatory.
I can't.
Like these terms are so like. The terms used to describe a woman who's done her makeup or who hasn't done their makeup is so man-made, like actually male.
Who owns the biggest beauty industry?
Probably some old-ass white man.
No, if you Google, like, you...
Sorry, that's usually true.
Okay. No, but that's mainly true. But that's, like, a lot of, like, when I was researching this for this podcast, like, there were some, like, academic essays. They were too long, so I didn't read all of them. But, like, I saw a few points where they said that a lot of the way that women... like focus on their beauty, it's all geared towards looking good for men, and if they don't look that way, men don't like you know, give them attention or whatever. To be honest, like in real life, when you listen, like when you focus on men's perception of women, do you really think that they're going to be nice or be decent toward a woman who's not wearing makeup and who's not, like, to them attractive?
I'm sorry, but
I've seen
instances. But the last man I talked to was
your uncle.
Yeah. Or my cousin.
No.
I'm sorry, my love life is really sad.
Oh my god.
Okay, from my experience.
Yeah.
Like, usually if I'm meeting someone for the first time, a guy, okay, it's like, I will do my makeup. Like, I feel like if you go natural, you know, they are like, oh, I love natural beauty. Oh, they don't. They like natural makeup. Like, there is a difference. Like, they don't see it. Like, if I go with full glam, then they will be like, oh, okay, she's wearing makeup. But if I go with, like, natural makeup, they can't even see. So, it's like, they don't know much. Like, even if I go with gold shadows and stuff, he's not going to be like, oh, Sandy, your gold shadow is popping. Like, it's like, they won't know. Like, I look good for myself, you know? I look good so that I can pass by a mirror and check out myself, check out my ass, you know? Like, I want to look at myself.
Sorry, Cammy's dad. Sorry.
It's not, okay.
So not PG.
Okay, skip.
Let's just beep that one out. Beep the ass. Wait, Sandy, so when you go on dates and stuff, does the guy put in any effort though? Like, what do you see the guys doing?
Like, they dress nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they at least put some effort in looking good and smelling good at least. Like, please smell good. Like, all I want is, like, please smell good. Like, I don't want to just be smelling like trash.
No,
like,
guys, But guys, I mean, ladies,
you can call me anything.
My point is, when you look at men dressing up, it's like they don't change. They don't put chemical substance on their face, right? They don't.
Because the thing
wax
is,
their eyebrows.
They do.
They don't do all
they
those. They
become
things.
Gay. If they do, they're gay. I'm not saying that they're gays, like people who put on makeup is gay. I'm just saying, like, one time we had a discussion in college about like toxic masculinity. And we were just talking about all this stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, there are some guys who wear makeup and stuff. And this other guy was like, yeah, because they're gay and stuff. That's the thing. Like, it's just not socially acceptable for these men to wear makeup.
No, but see, it's just so sad. But when a guy does something that's considered feminine, it's gay.
Yeah.
So makeup and beauty and spending all this time, money and effort into your physical appearance is something that women are expected to do in society. And if men do that, then, you know, they're gay. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like it's a concrete expectation from a woman to do all this just to look in men's eyes acceptable. Which is so messed up, and I hate it.
Like, in Hong Kong, especially, you can't see, like, the posters of those makeup brands being a guy. Like, the models are usually women.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just, people are not used to it. They don't want to change stuff they have been seeing, you know? Like, they have been seeing female models on these brands, and then they don't want suddenly a guy wearing makeup on those banners, you know, or those posters. But in, I think, US, it's more common.
Yeah. To be fair, you know,
little Korean idols too, like K-pop, those men, they've been doing makeup, which looks really cool.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, people don't think about this, but, you know, to be fair towards the opposite gender, a lot of celebrity, male celebrities, when we see them on red carpets and, like, in public, they wear makeup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But it's so natural that people don't think they're wearing makeup. That's it.
Yeah. But they're male celebrities. I'm talking about, like, everyday normal people, you know. Like, I'm just jealous of the fact that they just get to wear nice clothes and just work with what they have naturally.
I think it's the fact that these people, like, I don't know who I'm referring as these people, but I just want to say these people, they just naturally assume that guys are born perfect. that's why they're not so, like, expected not, to do anything to their feet. Not saying that not they are perfect,
but just like they're fine they're as like, they are.
Mm-hmm. And then women, we aren't born perfect or whatever in their
own we have
opinion.
To be molded so, in a certain way.
Whatever I think way society that is. puts more pressure on us, like all these magazines and everything, like telling you to look a certain way. It like you don't want to be pressured by it, but then you still somehow
because no, because you don't want to be pressured by it. But if you're not, then you won't get the job you want. You won't get the guy you want. You won't get far in life. That's how this society is built.
Oh yeah, talking about jobs.
Okay.
Someone once asked me, okay, there is like two girls with same qualification, like everything is same, okay? But one is like one came to the interview with makeup, one didn't come with makeup. Came with makeup, okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
we got it.
Which one would you hire? Like tell me. Both have same qualification. Both came on the same day.
If you're asking me, oh my god. So, well, obviously. No, see, you're saying
it's
like,
a hard question.
No, you're saying listen, you're saying they have the same qualifications and their physical one is wearing no makeup, the other is wearing makeup. Then I'm going to judge, like, I'm not going to look at their physical appearance. They have the same qualifications. And then the next step is to have a chat with them and see how they how they talk. But if you ask someone else, like, obviously, if you actively ask someone like face to face this question, they'll answer the way I just answered. But subconsciously, everyone will choose the one with makeup because that's how society is built. You have to.
And not just that, it depends on what kind of job you are hiring her for. So if she has to be around people, she has to be out there. Like, okay, anything that requires you to be out there and talk to customers or clients, like, you would want someone, because people get judged by their looks, like, no matter what, like, no matter how we say, oh, I don't care how you look, we do, it just happens, it's just human nature, we just judge.
Yeah, but I feel like we're going round and round, is that it's human nature to judge someone by their looks, but then the looks are judged by the larger beauty industry and the larger societal, like, conventional beauty standards. Conventional beauty standards change all the time, so the way we judge people also changes all the time.
Definitely, I'm not going to remain a 7-year-old my whole life.
Oh my god. Do you agree with the discourse that the beauty industry is like another way to keep women limited and constrained in their open self-expression, like being their natural self and being taken seriously without having to wear makeup?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the question again. I mean, yeah, sure. It's like, yeah, sure. I don't know, like, it's so hard to say it. Obviously it is, like it's so freaking obvious that it is, in terms of us women accepting our own features and stuff. But at the same time, I'm just like, although, you know, the beauty industry has given us all these toxic thoughts, like all these toxic expectations, at the same time, I'm just like, you know, if someone wants to do a full glam and beat, I'm like, you go, girl, like, because these people are having so much fun.
Yeah, it's fun to see, and it's really creative, it's artistic, you know. But so going off on that, what do you want to change about the beauty industry as it is, and how we perceive makeup and beauty and self-esteem?
There's so many things to change about the beauty industry.
For me, it's like...
I just don't know what yet. Just kidding. Because you said I did no research for this.
But I think, like, you know how people are like, oh, makeup can boost your confidence. I mean, it does, but that's not the number one factor, you know? There's a lot of things that contribute to your self-esteem. Mm. It could be how you were brought up, how you... I don't know. There's just
too many people around
you. Linked to your self-confidence. So I don't really only blame the beauty industry, but
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point, you know, like a lot of young girls, that's the problem I have with this young generation is that they're putting too much time on how they look and their physical appearance, and they don't, and like the beauty industry is telling them that, you know, this is how you boost your confidence, but no, this is one way. Another way is to be around good people and focus your energy in, you know, your education and your good hobbies and all that, you know, like a holistic way of building self-esteem. It's a whole structure. We learned that in school. Remember, Pooja? The whole self-esteem triangle.
We did?
In liberal studies, man.
I do remember the whole thingy, that triangle.
I remember
thingy,
the triangle.
Yeah, you remember the triangle, right? She doesn't listen in class, you do.
I'm sorry that they were teaching in Cantonese. And I'm Nepalese and I don't know any Cantonese. No, but I do. I know that.
Yeah.
That's the thing, yeah, like, in the end, like, we shouldn't just be like the beauty industry, like, makeup is the evil guy, you know?
Mm. No, makeup is not. It's the it's the industry. And see,
but at the same
time, back to the point, capitalism ruins everything.
Yeah, at the same time, it's not the beauty industry that's only the bad guy. You know? If other things aren't working towards making sure that we are growing up healthily, then obviously, like, the bad part of an industry or whatever is going to get to us first, because it's so easily to be manipulated.
Yeah.
By all this propaganda, you know?
Yeah, cancel Barbie. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
Okay. It's
like plastic.
Like Barbie with, like, a normal body shape.
Yeah, normal body shape. And
but what's the thing? What's a normal body shape?
Yeah, there's no normal body shape. There's, like, loads of different body shapes.
Yeah, they came out with that, right? Like, they came out with, like, darker Barbie. They tried to do a lot of things.
Barbie, it's like, look at Barbie. Oh, my God. They brought a Barbie with a normal, with air quotes, body shape. And then they brought a Barbie with dark skin. And that's, like, that's the bare minimum of progressiveness, you know?
I think that's the thing. Barbie with
because
short.
Now, like... They know that we are starting to be aware and that we want change. So they're making profit out of that now.
Yeah, see, even when they try to be different or try to be progressive, at the end of the day, they just want to keep, like, reel us in and keep a hold on us as consumers.
True.
I don't think we ever answered the question about what we want to change about the beauty industry.
There's a lot of things to do. That's
I know.
Big question. So, a lot of things. And I think my answer would be I lost train of my thought.
I don't know, like,
yeah. So I think you know what? It should start from the beginning. Like, we should literally just
the
change.
Big bang.
A big process, a long process, but
yeah,
but the way I see it is we should, like, you know how they say, you know, we should stop, like, focusing all these Barbie Barbie dolls and all these old Disney princesses stories and everything. Stop targeting these things to young girls, because then physical appearance is the only physical appearance and getting the prince and all that nonsense is the only thing that they one of the only thing that they focus on, you know, and not like a whole all around, you know, interest and hobbies. Do you get what I mean? Like boys, they have cartoons, they have action figures, they have sports, they have science, maths, you know, computer games, so many different interests and hobbies. What do girls have? Barbie, Disney princesses.
Cooking show. Cooking games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the certain
pots.
Household stuff.
Yeah, certain things. Mm-hmm. So
wife should, material.
Yeah, we should start from that. You know, we should focus on young girls, telling them that you can put on makeup and you can look pretty, but only for yourself. And with that, you should also focus on your education and on other hobbies and interests. Like, make yourself fully happy. You know, don't just find happiness in how you look, because you're never going to find happiness that way. You're only going to find happiness in things that, you know, fulfill you and your abilities and skills. If that makes any sense.
I think it's great that a lot of Asian countries don't, like, they don't allow their students to wear makeup and stuff.
Yeah, see, like that, like earlier on we said, here in the UK, girls, like, to secondary school, they're wearing makeup and they're going to school. You know, so from a young age, they're already, like, you know, especially in the very dangerous time when girls, you know, they get self-conscious about their appearance, that's when they start putting on makeup and feeding into that toxic, how do you say?
What mentality?
Yeah, toxic mentality that, you know, you put on more makeup, or, you know, invest more time and effort into how you look to feel confident, when in actuality that's not how you feel confident at that age, especially. Should we conclude this really interesting
podcast? Have we talked about everything?
Yes, we have, actually. Like, a lot of things, a lot of the some of the questions, like,
did we cover?
Some of the questions I skipped because we basically talked about it in the beginning, you know.
How about, would you rather live in a world with makeup or without?
But yeah. Would you? I don't think so.
I'm just like, after I know there is this thing, I wouldn't, honey.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's fun. It's artistic. It brings a lot of joy. Like, it's just, it's not makeup that specifically that.
That's a bad guy.
That's a bad guy. It's how it's being used, you know.
Yeah, even like I can't live without makeup because it's something where I express myself. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, ooh, I can do this today, I can do that tomorrow. Like, I can change it around, you know, I can try new things. Like, you know, I like trying new products. I like to act like those beauty gurus. Hi, guys. Today I'm going to be using this concealer.
Same,
like,
girl.
I like doing those in front of the mirror, you know? Like,
I love being a fake YouTuber. Like,
yes, I love it. Let's have a YouTube channel.
I know, girl. Definitely.
Okay. So, makeup is good. Yeah. Beauty industry at the moment is bad. Kind of. Yes, it's toxic. It's toxic.
It's so hard. It's like, I feel
makeup
like
itself is not bad.
No, makeup is not.
People are using it. Yeah, people are using it.
But there's definitely like a slight shift from how it used. Like I don't know about anything else, but like in terms of like YouTube and stuff, because I've been watching YouTube for a long time. You know, I used to watch beauty gurus and stuff, and I don't know, like, before when I was like young, like 12 or something, like 13 or something, like I would see like YouTubers putting on makeup for this. It always felt like as if they were putting on makeup for the sake of like looking good for others and stuff. There's always been that, but I feel like recently there has been a shift in like the people who do their makeup online, like mm-hmm. they have been just like promoting the fact that they're not wearing makeup because they want to change, they want to look good for someone, but they're wearing it for fun, for creative mm-hmm. reasons, and mm-hmm. for just looking good for themselves. And I kind of like that, you know, there's kind of like a slight disclaimer,
the message,
that, you know.
Yeah. The good shift is that people are now being
kind of
overall, cautious about how they consume the things that they're consuming.
Yeah.
On TV, on YouTube, you know, everywhere.
Even in like social media and stuff, whenever I read like, you know, women especially who comment about makeup and stuff, they're all just like, you know, like we aren't doing this for other people. We're not doing it for men's approval. We're doing it
yes.
for ourselves.
Yes, that's another shift that's happening is, you know, they're not women. Women are starting to wear makeup for themselves.
Yeah.
And they're starting to find fulfilling for themselves, not to get approvals from someone else, for someone else, you know.
Yeah, but then talking about YouTube, the industry, like beauty industry, before it was less toxic, but
yeah, definitely.
There's way more drama now. Like before, when I was watching Bubz Beauty or like Michelle Phan, like they were like so chill. Like those were like the chill YouTubers you want to watch all day without any drama. Maybe they had some inside drama, but there was nothing where they made it so public, anything like that. Like it was chill, but now it's everything has to be online. Everything needs to be like a receipt, like everything needs to be out there, you know.
Yeah, back to my first episode of the podcast. Yeah,
hint hint,
if you haven't checked it out already, a little promotion,
be sure to check it out, guys.
Sure, to not miss out the first episode. If you're not, if you haven't even watched the first episode, then why the hell are you here?
thank you for the really good
nonsense.
No, I'm
get gonna
be very bad. No, but seriously, what are you doing here if you haven't listened to the first episode?
Yeah, get out of here, girl.
Guys, don't
you faker.
Be offended by these girls. Like, I'm
no, it's only Pooja.
But they don't know who Pooja is.
Agreeing.
Pooja Guru.
Kami is also agreeing.
She's like, this is all Pooja. Who's Pooja for them? Could be anyone.
What is this behavior, Pooja?
I'm sorry, I kicked it by mistake.
You're asking for it.
You're done, got it?
Guys,
get off my back.
You should keep this in the...
Yeah. Like bloopers. This.
So guys, okay. After spinning round and round and round, we've come to the conclusion that we can't find a conclusion to this.
No, we did actually. We did actually. Like, just shift your focus on how you use makeup in your life. Do it for yourself, not for others. And be cautious about how you consume the ads and the products from the beauty industry.
It's so easy for us to say that, though.
Yeah, so now we're going to like try and like me, I'm going to try and teach my younger sister, you know, yeah, like do makeup for yourself, not for other people, you know. That's how it's a slow process, but it's worthwhile, you know. It's worth it.
Parents, if you're watching this, please be involved in your child's life. I know it's hard, but you can do it. Schools and teachers and principals and whatever. I don't know what I should tell you. I hope you cancel this out because I don't know what I'm saying.
No. Schools and principals, please, please ban makeup in schools.
I feel that's a bit extreme for those who are used to it.
God, but you still have... Okay.
Because they'll be like, oh my God, this is like...
I don't know if I agree with you guys with this one.
Okay. Let's just conclude.
Banning makeup altogether in like schools and stuff, especially in like America or Europe or something like that. It would be so like controversial for young teens. I feel like
it's so easy. Like we studied our entire secondary school without it.
I know, but that's the thing. We're used to it. These people have been used to this forever. You know, they've had their whole life to have a freedom to what they can wear on their face and what they can wear to school and stuff. So if we just be like, oh, ban makeup, they'll be like, yeah, easy said and done. That's not going to happen because there's going to be a lot of backlash. These people are going to be like, oh, it's like interfering with our freedom and stuff.
Yeah.
Because obviously Americans, like white people. I don't want to say white people, but like, you know, like these people need a different, they have different culture.
Yeah.
Different way of living. Like us in Asia, like a lot of us, we're just all about like filial piety. Is that how you pronounce that word?
I don't know. Just say family oriented. Yeah,
or family oriented.
Community.
And, you know, you, because if, to be fair, like an Asian country, like if someone's wearing makeup at a young age, they're actually going to get shamed, don't you think?
Yeah.
Not really shamed.
But like, shamed, but like, what are you doing? Like, not, like,
you shouldn't be focusing on
it's
that.
It's not suitable. It's just not suitable for young
girls,
kids, you know?
Yeah, kids.
Yeah. Okay. That's it for the podcast. Thank you guys so much for coming and talking.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, although I didn't know what I said the half the time.
Half of the time I was just confused trying to think of something, but then I couldn't because it's like,
I did no research for this, so here I am.
I just did my research.
I know.
Honestly, every single, like, it's so, this topic could go so deep, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for coming.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Felicia.
Bye.
That was the second episode of the Woman, Asian, and Bloody Immigrant podcast. If you have any suggestions about any topics that we can discuss on the podcast, you can comment them in the comment section below, or you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter and send those suggestions through. I want to say thank you genuinely to every single person who listened to the first episode of this podcast and gave the support and encouragement. It meant so much to me, so thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode as well, and look out for the next one.